السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن احتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا وقد خلقكم أطوارا، صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: أدبني ربي فأحسن تأديبي، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected honored scholars, ulama, elders, beloved brothers, there is no stage in the life of a human being, and in particular in the life of a believer, where a person could become complacent in their progress and their achievement. In essence, the effort to better ourselves, to improve ourselves, is unending. It's a lifelong effort. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in Quran that wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen, that continue worshipping Allah until death overtakes you. Continue worshipping Allah until death overtakes you. And really speaking, when a person has the desire of becoming a better Muslim, when a person has the desire of becoming a better believer, then he would learn from all circumstances, whether positive, whether negative, each and everything would leave you impressed. You know, like in English they say, that a positive thinker finds an opportunity in every difficulty, and a negative thinker finds a difficulty in every opportunity. Let me repeat that. A positive thinker finds an opportunity in every difficulty, and a negative thinker finds a difficulty in every opportunity. In Quran, in the first juz, there is a surah, Surah Luqman. The scholars and the ulama have gone into great detail, and they have debated whether he is a Nabi of Allah. So some scholars, there is a minority of scholars who say he was a Nabi of Allah. But that's a very rare opinion. Majority of the scholars and the ulama are of the opinion that he was a pious servant of Allah. And amongst the multitudes of advisors, that Luqman the wise, that he had disseminated and he had given to his son, Allah selected a few and had given it a place in Quran. Ya bunayya aqimi s-salah wa'mur bil ma'roof wanha 'anil munkar wasbir 'ala ma asabak inna dhalika min 'azmi al-umur wa la tus'ir khaddaka lin-nas. That, O my son, establish salah. Invite towards good, forbid from evil. Whatever difficulty comes your way, persevere and endure. One day somebody came to Luqman the wise, and he said, Luqman, you are so famous, you are so intelligent. Where did you learn all this from? Where did you learn all this from? Etiquette and conduct. And I just want to expound on this particular topic in these few minutes that we have. In fact, there's so much the scholars have written on this. Just to condense the words of Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi, I just share with you a few points. So somebody had asked Luqman the wise, you are so famous, you are so intelligent, where did you learn all this from? What did he say? I learnt it from those who lacked it. Where did you learn it from? I learnt it from those who lacked it. People said, elaborate, what are you speaking about? He said, when I had seen someone doing something wrong, I said, that looks wicked, that looks despicable, so that is what I should avoid. If it looks evil to me when he does it, I guess it will look evil to others when I do it. He said, that was my motto in life. You and I will say, this man, you know what, is sitting in authority. He's abusing his authority. Only to know, the day Allah puts me in that position, I am worse than the one who sat before me. So you're not learning from the entire thing. You know, when we study Quran, my brothers, I mentioned this on various platforms, we have not studied the language of Quran, you have barred yourself from volumes of Islamic knowledge. Allah in Quran makes mention of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the scholars and the ulama have explained, you know, when we look at this topic of etiquette, conduct, mannerism, what did Ali bin Abi Talib say, the great giant, Ali bin Abi Talib? In fact, I came across a quotation earlier on that when the Jannatis enter Jannah, there will be a blinding light that will shoot through Jannah. So the Jannatis will ask Ridwan that, you know, what is this blinding light we see shooting through Jannah? So Ridwan will say, لَيْسَتْ هَذِهِ شَمْسٌ وَلَا قَمَّرٌ لَكِنْ هَذِهِ فَاطِمَةٌ وَعَلِيٌّ ضَحِكَا فَأَشْرَكَتِ الْجِنَانِ مِنْ نُورِ ضَحْكِهِمَا. This is not the sun rising nor the moon setting, but this is Fatima and Ali smiling, which has illuminated Jannah. Which has illuminated Jannah. So what did Ali bin Abi Talib say? You know, when he speaks about etiquette, mannerism and conduct, look at the condition of the youth of this ummah. What did he say? لَيْسَ الْيَتِيمُ الَّتِي قَدْ مَاتَ وَالِدُهُ إِنَّ الْيَتِيمَ يَتِيمُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. He says an orphan is not only that child whose biological parent has died before he has reached the age of puberty, but an orphan is also the child who sees the presence of both his parents, but the child is devoid of mannerism, etiquette and conduct. By that definition of Ali bin Abi Talib, I swear by Allah, 90% of the youth of this ummah are orphans today. So what does Allah Ta'ala teach us regarding this great Nabi of Allah, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam? Ibrahim alayhi salam, this Jalilul Qadr Nabi of Allah, how does he introduce Allah? How does he introduce Allah? Listen to the words of Quran. What did he say? Alladhi khalaqani fa huwa yahdin, walladhi huwa yut'imuni wa yasqin, wa idha maridtu fa huwa yashfin. This is the eloquence of Quran, and this is the eloquence of this great Nabi of Allah. What did Ibrahim alayhi salam say? Who is my Allah? My Allah is the one who has created me. Allah takes care of me. My Allah nourishes me. He takes care of me. And what did Ibrahim alayhi salam say? Wa idha maridtu. When I become sick, my Allah is kind enough to cure me. What did he say? When I become sick, my Allah is kind enough to cure me. Now we all know it's an article of faith. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Every condition, good and bad, comes from the side of Allah. Had Ibrahim alayhi salam said, when my Allah makes me sick, my Allah cures me, he committed no crime. But look at the inborn respect in the heart of a Nabi to his Allah. He did not attribute sickness to Allah. He attributed sickness to himself. And he attributed cure to the Almighty Allah. You know, when a person is going through some challenge in life, you said, my brother, how's it going? Make dua, Allah is testing. What can I do? Make dua, Allah is testing. But when something happens, you know, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda, when he used to get up in the morning, what he used to tell his family? He said, if anything pleasant happens to me today, it's from the side of Allah. If something unpleasant falls on my table, it's from the side of Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, and another great Nabi of Allah, perhaps it might be opportune to mention at this juncture, perhaps time is limited, just to give you a brief synopsis, you know, of this great Nabi of Allah, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. Ayyub alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala speaks about him in four different surahs in Quran. In Surah Nisa, Surah Anbiya, Surah An'am, and Surah Sa'd. Surah Nisa, Anbiya, An'am, and Surah Sa'd. Ayyub alayhi salam had enjoyed every form of privilege, whether it was wealth, children, affluence, whatever it is. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with everything that any human could possibly dream about. Then comes the test of Allah upon Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah is in total control, my brother. Allah can turn the condition at any man, at any time. How often don't we hear that, you know what, you see a janazah message? But I met the man yesterday. I sat in a meeting with him yesterday. You're walking, you're talking. Make shukr, my brother. So Ayyub alayhi salam, Allah blessed him. And then Allah decided to test him. And how? How did Allah decide to test him? All his farms started burning out. He lost all his farms, all his orchards. Everything burnt out. Then the roof of his house caved in. Open Tafsir al-Qurtubi. The roof of his house caved in, causing all the occupants of his house, that included his 14 children, to die instantly. I can say it, you can hear it. Ask a man who has lost one child. At one go, Ayyub alayhi salam loses 14 children. Like we say, the tunnel is only getting darker. It's not raining, it's pouring. That's not all. Allah Ta'ala then decided to test him with his health. He developed ulcers on his entire body. He lost his wealth. You know, often it happens. You know, he lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. He developed ulcers on his entire body. Only his tongue and his heart was protected from that particular sickness that he had developed. But the person who was a pillar of support to him was his honorable wife, and her name was Rahma. She literally was a mercy unto her husband. You know the object of marriage. What does the Quran say? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah says marriage should provide one of two things. Mawaddat and Rahma. Love and mercy. Open Madarik al-Tanzeel. What do the scholars write? قِيلَ الْمَوَدَّ لِلشَّابِ وَالرَّحْمَ لِلْأَجُوزِ. That love generally translates itself in the inception of the marriage. And mercy generally manifests itself in the latter stage of the marriage. You know, like on a light note, what do they say? When would you find the husband opening and closing the car door for his wife? They say either the wife is new or either the car is new. Either the wife is new. If a man is married for 30 years and you find he still does that, I take off my hat for you, my brother. So Ayyub alayhi salam, his wife, what do the scholars write? That mercy generally manifests itself in the latter stage of the marriage. And in a Western circle, you know, generally you would find, you know, when the husband is enjoying prosperity, affluence, wealth, then the wife enjoys being in that marriage. But no sooner does the husband go into poverty, you know, you find more than often marriages break up. You know, some time ago we dealt with a marital dispute. So anyway, the couple was sitting. I said, my sister, what's the problem? She says that, you know what, when we got married, the husband promised me that, you know what, twice a week he's going to take me out to eat. The husband says, it's not within my financial means anymore. You made a promise, you need to honor it. You can't honor it, I want out of the marriage. That's the reality, my brother. That's the reality. Ayyub alayhi salam, his wife stood with him through thick and thin. Ayyub, how Allah tested him? He lost everything that he owned. So one day she comes to the Almighty Allah. What are we speaking about? The height of respect. Allah Ta'ala says, مَالَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. What is the matter with you? You show absolutely no regard to your Allah. You know Zulaykha, the minister's wife, when she intended soliciting and seducing Yusuf. So they were in this closed chamber, and she picked up a cloth and she dropped it on her idol. So Yusuf alayhi salam asked her, what are you up to? She said, I feel shy. I feel embarrassed to commit a wrong in front of my idol. A lifeless, inanimate object. Her conscience bothered her. What has happened to the Muslim of this ummah? There was a time in this ummah when that youngster drove past the masjid, he lowered the volume of that music. There was a time in this ummah when a woman who was scantily dressed, when she had seen a friend of Allah, she covered her head. What my Nabi prophesied more than 1400 years ago. Don't we see the reality of that today? Nonetheless, Ayyub alayhi salam, you know, I often say this, we often sympathize with the one that is sick, but we forget to sympathize with those that are living with the sick person. More than often, those who are living with the sick person go through greater difficulty than the sick man themselves. So, Ayyub alayhi salam, you know, the sickness started taking a toll, not only on him, but even on his wife Rahma. So one day she comes to Ayyub alayhi salam, and she says, Ayyub, don't you think it is high time to ask Allah to substitute this difficulty with prosperity? A Nabi of Allah is conscious of Allah in the midst of prosperity and in the heart of sickness. Ayyub alayhi salam, he looked at his wife. Kam labistu fi raha? How many years of prosperity did we enjoy? She says 80 years, 8 decades, one narration. Kam labistu fil bala? How many years of difficulty? Sab'a sanawat, 7 years of difficulty. Ayyub alayhi salam looks at his wife. Amma astahyi an atluba min Allah raf'a bala'i wa ma qadaytu fihi muddat rafa'i. When I enjoyed the divine privileges of my Allah for 80 years and my Allah has only tested me for 7 years, patiently I will bear, I will endure the day Allah decides my cure well and good. That was the level of sabr in the life of Ayyub alayhi salam and the wife of Ayyub alayhi salam. So one day shaitan in a disguised form comes to the wife of Ayyub alayhi salam. And you know, when a person is going through challenges in life, you will spend all the money that you own, you will travel the length and the breadth of the globe, there is some person that could treat my beloved. So shaitan in a disguised form comes to the wife of Ayyub alayhi salam and says, you know what? I can treat your husband, I can cure your husband, but there's only one thing I want from you. After I've treated and cured your husband, I want you to praise me and I want you to acknowledge the fact that I've treated and cured your husband. The desperation of the wife of Ayyub knew no bounds. So she tells this man, who was the devil in a disguised form of a man, she comes to him, she says, you know what, I'll meet with my husband, let me discuss it with him, and I'll get back to you. Ayyub alayhi salam, his wife comes to him. You know what, I met with the doctor, he claims to say he can treat you, he can cure you, but there's only one thing that he wants. After he has treated and cured you, he wants me to praise him and acknowledge the fact that he has treated and he has cured you. Ayyub alayhi salam looks at his wife and he said, don't you know that is the statement of shirk? How could you attribute the quality of cure to someone other than Allah? If someone wants to give me cure, it is Allah, no one else. Ayyub alayhi salam then tells his wife, if Allah gives me cure, I'm going to lash you 100 times. I'm going to lash you 100 times. The incident is mentioned in Quran, Allahu Akbar. So there were two people living at that time. So one of them, they come to visit Ayyub alayhi salam. And one of them passes a comment. And he says, you know what, Ayyub, you have done something wrong in your life, for which Allah is showing you, you need to open your eyes. I always say, like I always make mention, you know, a person is going through a challenge in life, whether financial, his health, or something is against him. What do we say? Open your eyes, Allah is showing you. My brother, it's not for you to judge. It's not for me to judge. When a person is going through a challenge, the minimum that we can do, make dua for that man. My Nabi said, if you cannot smile on another man's happy occasion, it is sufficient proof you have jealousy in your heart. It is sufficient proof you have jealousy in your heart. So these two men, they tell Ayyub alayhi salam, you know what, Ayyub, you have done something wrong in your life, that is why you're suffering like this. Ayyub alayhi salam turns to Allah. He said, oh my Allah, I have been patient for years on end. And this man is passing this comment. Oh my Allah, you decide my cure. Rabbi masani adhur wa anta arhamur rahimin. Here again, what did Ayyub alayhi salam? He said, oh my Allah, I have been afflicted and you are most kind. What did he say? He didn't say, oh my Allah, you tested me. He said, oh my Allah, I have been afflicted and you are most kind. Allah Ta'ala, sabran ka sabri Ayyub. Unparalleled patience. Allah tells Ayyub, stand up. Study the words of Quran. Urqud bi rijlik. Hada mughtasalun baridu wa sharab. Stand up Ayyub. Strike your heel on the ground. Gushes out the water. Gushes out the water. Ayyub, drink from that water. Take ghusl from that water. Ayyub alayhi salam, he drinks from the water. Allah cures him internally. He takes ghusl in this water. Allah cleansed him externally. The riwayat of Ibn Hibban, Allah sends down the garment of Jannah. A young handsome man adorned with the garment of Jannah. His wife used to earn and provide
when she comes in the evening, she comes to this man and she said, "Ayna al-mubtala alladhi kana hauna? Where is my husband? I left him here in the morning. He was extremely ill and sick." Ayyub alayhi salam looks at his wife and he said, "I am your husband and this is how Allah has cured me. I am your husband and this is how Allah has cured me." He didn't forget. What did he tell his wife? "If Allah cures me, I'm going to lash you 100 times. I'm going to lash you 100 times. Allah Ta'ala makes divine intervention in this matter. Allah Ta'ala tells Ayyub, "You made a vow. You need to honor the vow. But at the same time, your wife has been diligent towards you. You are not going to harm your wife." I quote to you the words of Quran. What does Allah Ta'ala inspire Ayyub? وَخُذْ بِيَدِكَ دِغَسًا وَخُذْ بِيَدِكَ دِغَسًا فَضَرِبْ بِهِ وَلَا تَحْنَثْ. Allahu Akbar. What did Allah Ta'ala tell Ayyub alayhi salam? Take 100 blades of thin grass. 100 blades of thin grass. Form one bundle, touch your wife once, and that is lashing 100 times. That divine intervention Allah made, while she was a pillar of support to Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. What I'm saying, my brothers, the height of respect. These are great anbiya. You know, one day Sayyidina Usman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, somebody came to him and he said, "Usman, I have a question to ask you. Are you older or is Nabi alayhi salam older? Are you older or is Nabi alayhi salam older?" What did he say? Look at the sensitivity with which he answers. "Huwa akbaru minni wa ana asannu minhu." I am older than him, but let me remind you, he's elder than me. I'm older than him, but let me remind you, he's elder than me. My youngsters that are sitting here, you might have more knowledge than your father, but I swear by Allah, the wisdom of your parents, this you don't have. You might have more knowledge, you might have climbed that economical ladder, but I swear by Allah, the wisdom of your parents, this is lacking in you. You know, Umar, Allahu Akbar, you know, one day, Maymun ibn Mihran, the great grandson of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda, he's making tawaf, circumambulating the Baytullah. The king of that time, Hisham ibn Abdul Malik, he comes to him, the grandson of Umar bin Khattab, and he said, "You know what? Even at that time, you know, those on top, they kept a sense of bond with those, the ordinary people on the ground. Unlike the politicians today, you see them only at the time of elections. You know, after that, they are gone. And we will see you 4 years down the line." So the kings of that time, they kept a sense of connection with the people on the ground. So he's making tawaf around the Baytullah. Hisham ibn Abdul Malik, this great king, he comes to the grandson of Umar. And he said, "If there's anything that you want from me, I would be able to put it on your table. Nothing that you would ask of me, I would not be able to give it to you." So he gives him a nasty glance. He said, "I stand in front of Baytullah and you're asking me to present your needs to you." He said, "My apologies." Nonetheless, when he completes the circumambulation of the Baytullah and tawaf around the Baytullah, as he steps out of the mataf, the king comes to him and he said, "My offer stands. Anything you want from me, there's nothing that you would ask, I would not be able to give it to you." So he looks at this king and he said, "When you refer to needs, are you referring to material needs or spiritual needs?" So he says, "Well, spiritual needs, I can't give you anything. I would have to learn more from you than what I could give you. But material needs, whatever you want, I would put it on the table." So he looks at this king and he said, "Let me tell you, material needs, I have not even asked Allah. Where am I going to ask you? Material needs, I have not even asked Allah, where am I going to ask you? And here you find a man constantly complaining. What did my Nabi say? Man asbaha minkum mu'afan fi jasadi, aminan fi silbi, indahu kutu yawmi, faka annama huyizat lahu dunya, bihazafiriha, ajumi'at bitamamiha." You get up in the morning, your back is straight. You can put a morsel of food in your mouth. You can walk, you can talk. The faculties are functioning. My Nabi said, "Consider yourself to be the king of the world. What is there to complain about?" I mean, we live in a time today where people constantly complain. You complain to Allah, don't complain about Allah. You know, the other day I was giving a talk and something to reflect and ponder over. You know, my brother, you know, as insan, this is the weakness. When it's extremely hot, the weather is terrible today. What are you complaining? You're complaining about the weather that Allah has sent down. It's hot today, it's cold today, the weather is terrible today. Who are you you're complaining about Allah? That's the height of disrespect. The height of disrespect. So like I mentioned, my brothers, in Quran, there are multitudes of examples. Like I said, respect between us and the Almighty Allah. Respect between us and the noble personality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, one day the Nabi of Allah, and the Nabi of Allah was an amazing human being. You know, there were two Sahaba that were practicing archery. So Nabi alayhi salam realized that, you know what, this one is better than that one. So Nabi alayhi salam, you know, he was a human being like you and I. The Nabi of Allah interacted, you know, with the people on the ground. You know, when Sayyidina Abu Bakr bin Khattab, when he had taken the reins of the Islamic Empire, so somebody, there was a young girl who passed the comment, Al-an la tuhlab manahiyu darina, that gone are the days where Abu Bakr will milk our animals. What did he tell this young girl? I am grateful to the Almighty Allah that this position that Allah has endowed me with does not alter my interaction with the people on the ground. Does not alter my interaction with the people on the ground. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, these were giants, my brothers. These were giants. We need to study the seerah. The height of, we see what has happened recently, attacking the integrity of the Sahaba. My brothers, I can condemn, you can condemn. I swear by Allah, that individual, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda. What did my Nabi say? I have two ministers in the heavens, Jibreel and Mikael. My two ministers on the earth are Abu Bakr and Umar. The accolades of Umar, the manaqib of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab. If you take the iman and put it on one side of the balance, and take the iman of Abu Bakr and put it on the other side, my Nabi said, the good deeds of Umar, of Abu Bakr, will outweigh the good deeds of my entire ummah. And you find individuals condemning this. And there is a sinister motive. There is a hidden agenda. I've traveled the world, you know, to take people away from the madahib. These madahib are not there to create a dissension and a division in the ummah. Amongst the sahaba, there were differences amongst them. Differences of opinion are inevitable. In the time of the Nabi of Allah, they differed on so many issues. But my brother, I always say this, no matter how much they differed, their hearts were united. You can sit in a meeting, you can be heated as far as your arguments are concerned, but walk out of that meeting with a smile on your face, with a clean heart, then we are progressing as an ummah. Cleanse our hearts, purify our hearts, study the lives of the Sahaba. My brothers, I leave you with one question. Those individuals whom you and I claim to love, study the condition of the youth of this ummah. Following this soccer star and that soccer player, you know, through my travels, I met many of them. And I swear by Allah, you would not want to walk in the shoes of that man for 1 second. You know, the other day I was sitting with a group of youngsters, and one youngster tells the other that we won, you're lost. So I said, who's we and who's y'all? He said, no, my team. I said, my brother, let me tell you, that soccer player that you're speaking about, if he has to look at you, he will not give you a second gaze. And you're worshipping that man. The Ashara Mubashara, those companions of the Nabi of Allah, that my Nabi said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Usman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Abu Ubaidah fil Jannah. How many of us know the Abu Ashara Mubashara by memory? Study their lives, my brothers. Study their lives. Respect. If we cannot respect, do not condemn. If we cannot respect, do not condemn. Amongst the jurists themselves, they differed on so many issues. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i. Allahu Akbar. You know, when Imam Abu Hanifa passed away, I just end on this, Imam Shafi'i was born. So he goes to visit the qabr of Imam Abu Hanifa, and it was the time of Fajr. And in the Salatul Fajr, Imam Shafi'i omitted the recitation of Dua-i-Kunut. So somebody told him, that is your practice. You have omitted the recitation of Dua Kunut. What did he say? I'm standing on that piece of ground where one of the greatest giants of Islam are resting, Nu'man bin Thabit, Imam Abu Hanifa. That was the respect they had for one another. Here you find non-entities condemning the Sahabi. Wallahi, my brothers, I swear by Allah, every statement of the entire Ummah turn against his great companions, Allah himself in Quran says, Afallahu anhum, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah himself has acknowledged and praised them in Quran. What gives you and I the right to show disrespect to those companions that Allah's Nabi himself had acknowledged? There's so much more we could have shared with you. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah grant us the tawfiq and the ability that we imbibe, we infuse, we internalize these amazing advices of Quran and Sunnah. Like I mentioned my opening comments, where respect, mannerism, etiquette and conduct. Unfortunately, this is the missing ingredients in the Ummah. Allah Ta'ala grant us that.